The discovery of the bodies of over 200 children at the Kamloops Indian Residential School in Canada is horrifying Canada. It's horrifying everyone who hears about the story. Linda Lagarde Grover joins us this morning on the phone. She is a professor here at UMD. She's a member of the Boys Fort Band from the Vermilion District of the Net Lake Reservation. There was a boarding school in Vermilion. And Linda, I understand actually that your grandparents met at the boarding school in Vermilion. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. They went to several schools, which was not unusual. And Vermilion was the one where they met, and it's a complicated story, as many are. Like most Native families, my family was a boarding school family with two, three generations where children were routinely removed from home and sent away to school, far enough away most times, or they weren't allowed to visit often or to see their family very often. And it was a very harsh existence in many situations for the children. The story about the Kamloops school is an awful story. And you know, Lisa, the one really sad aspect of it is that it is not surprising that that's a Canadian school, but here in the States, our system was in place for the big system was like 60 years. But there have been boarding schools here since before there was an America. And children died at boarding schools, perhaps every boarding school. And some of the boarding schools even have graveyards on the school grounds. It's a very, very sad story, and really sad that it is not a surprising story.
The more you come to understand about residential schools, it seems, at least for me, that the more I've learned about them, the more I think about them, the more horrifying they become. You start to follow these threads in your mind, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. I knew a man, I worked with a man decades ago from a Southwestern tribe who was a boarding school survivor, and the Kamloops school only closed in 1978. Now, I graduated from high school in 79, so if things had been different, I could have spent my entire life at a boarding school.
There were children who were at school from the time they were really little until they were done with school, but it is not as often not as organized and orderly as we might think. I mean, there sometimes these things were quite chaotic, and children going to different schools. The purpose of this was to break up, to eliminate a whole culture of people through the really vulnerable population, you know, the children. And so I think that whatever means it took was going to be used. So it's not as though all children from one family would go to one school at one time, because that would have given them opportunity to have that bond and that strength of being part of a family. And that was something that was supposed to be eliminated under this system.
And I think, I guess I've heard this quote used before, that the idea was to kill the Indian and save the man. And
it was
eliminating culture, language, like you say, family connections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was to kill the Indian in people, and then they would assimilate into larger American society was the big plan. Now, this plan was not... Someone didn't wake up one day and say, let's do something really cruel to Native people and, you know, and their descendants, too. It was, very highly enthusiastically supported by the progressives of the time during the big boarding school era, which started not long after the Civil War. It was thought to be the answer to a big problem, and I always wondered what that problem was, but it was simply that that the indigenous people were in the way of progress. And so here in the States, our system, the big boarding school era was from after the Civil War until the mid-1930s, when the system began to be dismantled, once again by public pressure from groups of people who had now decided that the system was inhumane. So it was here for a very long time. The results of this are with us today and will stay with us. I don't know. I don't think these are things that can be just fixed in any way. It is a part of our history, and it has become a part of us, of who we are as a people. There's a shadow over things. At the same time, there's a tremendous amount of gratitude and honor for the children who went to boarding school, those who survived and those who didn't.
There were 16 boarding schools in Minnesota. White Earth started in 1871. There were 10 boarding schools in Wisconsin, including one on the Bad River Reservation, one in Bayfield, one in Hayward, Lac du Flambeau, Toma. There were 10 across Wisconsin. I mention this because this awful, awful story coming out of Canada. There are people all across Minnesota and Wisconsin who are survivors of the boarding school era or who were raised by survivors of the boarding school era. And these are people that have to be going through such an awful time right now. And the story of the woman, Grace Smith, that I spoke with several years back, she had never talked about her boarding school experience. And I've heard over and over from people who say this was never talked about.
Well, this wasn't a topic of discussion, with the children around. Though when I was a little girl, I did hear people talk about it, but it was among themselves, and it was us. Children overhearing, and I do remember being told to, you kids go play, because this wasn't a topic for children. Education is an honorable and sacred thing, and our parents and grandparents really wanted us to, to do well in school, and so I am sure that, they wanted to give us the surviving positive frame of mind as we go there, and so they didn't want to talk about education as a bad thing, because before boarding schools, Native children were certainly being educated in their communities. Not in the type of schooling, of Western type of schooling that has become part of our existence today, but certainly children were educated, and the teaching of other people has always been considered a great privilege, and the people who do so highly honored in Native ways. And actually, we are all teachers. But this put a kind of a, it convoluted something that is so important into something that was very, very destructive and sad. And yeah, I think this is, certainly kind of picking at a scab, maybe, for that might be what it is, because this is not a brand new shocking thing to Native people, but having this story and such a large number of children in one place, and that they were not recorded, I guess it's I guess that's what I read. As far as Canada knows, there's no record of these children's deaths, and that is very, very, very sad.
And the idea for these parents, and then, of course, if you're a parent, the idea that your child could be taken away from you, and then you never hear from the child again, and you never know.
It became part of life, though, Lisa. And so it wasn't even like a, this to me is one of the really sad things, is that this was not all of a sudden a shocking thing that your child is going to have to go. It had become part of what was life. And certainly there were people who you know, did what they could to not have their children go. And once they were there, the runaways was quite a situation that I think probably every school, you know, children just taking off. But, you know, when they were running away, they were running towards home. So they were easy to find and bring back and continue to be part of the head count and the resources for the school. So it's that it became part of what people had to do. And that was how it was explained to me by one of my uncles, who wanted very much for me to know that his mother didn't just decide to send the kids away. He told me a few times that he would say, "You see, she had no choice." And I would say, "Well, of course, we love and honor the grandmother in our family and you know, the grandmothers before her, and understand that they continued to survive, and that their children in my family, as far as I know, they all lived. But you know, he wanted very much for me to know that his mother had greatly loved her children and had not wanted them to go away.
Linda, we're in a place in our culture right now where I think, in addition to populations that have been under attack, I think allies and advocates are feeling like, okay, we've had just about enough of discovering all of the bad stuff that we've been up to and that our society has been up to and that we didn't know about, and we're getting a little fed up with it. And I guess we kind of want to make it right. Would a demand from allies or advocates, along with affected people, to say, okay, well, my understanding is that they were surveying the school grounds with ground-penetrating radar, and they stumbled across this mass grave. My first thought is, get ground-penetrating radar out to the site of every single boarding school and start looking.
Well, they're not all... not all situations would be like up at Kamloops. I mean, there are some of the large schools actually have had their own graveyards, their own cemeteries, and you know, the Carlisle School in Pennsylvania did, and the Haskell School in Kansas did, and so there are graves and there are records of children who died at schools, but. You know, I'm sure that there is not a record of every single child who died, or the way that they died. I mean, I've heard of children who died running away, trying to get home from school, and died just by being out in the elements, or children who had accidents at school, or children who died under mysterious circumstances. I don't know, Lisa, personally, how I feel about X-raying the ground and disturbing their little bodies. I honestly don't know how I feel about that. I guess I have to give this some thought. And you know, I mean, I know there are people who feel great outrage at this moment, but it has been part of, as I said, it has become part of who we are. And I really don't know. I don't really know if I can think of a good solution, and there are things that cannot be fixed, and you know, so I don't know if that would fix things. And sometimes only God, only the Great Spirit and time can provide any type of ease for this. It is sad and it is disturbing, and I know today there are many people who this great sadness of our history is now, you know, today again it's like, oh my goodness, yes, it's always with me, and now here's a really terrible news story. So I wish I knew, but I don't today.
And I think allies and advocates, of course, are still working hard on learning the lessons of sitting still, being quiet, listening, asking for direction, and instead of necessarily just barreling ahead, because there is something for And I don't want to say it's necessarily for this group of people or that group of people. I think there are some personalities that find action in the face of great pain better. They're more comfortable trying to take an action, writing a legislator, doing something, as opposed to just sitting with this awful, awful pain.
You know, I think that the leadership in our tribes, I'm sure that a great deal of thought and discussion is going on right now among the leadership, you know, the tribal governments and spiritual leaders in tribes. And, you know, I am thinking that they will provide, you know, wisdom and guidance for us on how, you know, what to do, you know, later today and tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. And it's, you know, it's their... It's you know, they are people who become leaders in our community for many, many reasons, and I guess for today that's what I'm thinking. For me personally, that's how I feel things. And you know, sometimes people who want to take action, I mean, that's how we got the boarding schools in the first place, is very well-meaning groups of people who wanted to make social change and the, you know, and involved, you know, the churches and the government. I mean, the churches were in this before the government was, but you know, both can take credit for some of this. These are groups of people with some influence who actually created the boarding school system and then decided that it wasn't working and dismantled it. And in the between those two times and before and after, we endured.
So maybe again the solution is to wait and to ask and to say, what can I do to help, and then be willing to listen to the answer.
Yeah, I think that might be a good way, but you know, I'm only one person and you know, I can't speak for everybody, but I do know that, you know, over my lifetime since I was a little girl, you know, just hearing little bits and pieces of this, and then just, you know, finally when I was older, being able to discuss it a little bit with some of my older relatives, this is a profound, long-lasting, tragic thing, and it's I don't think I'm quite sure is there a healing, is there a curing? I do not know, but whatever good might come, it's not going to come in a day, I guess. It's I'm very, very sad, you know, when I saw that and the article, and I'm so sad that I was not surprised, but I'm just like, oh yeah, you know. And and that's another part of the sadness of the whole thing, is that, you know, this is not a brand, I mean, in Indian country, this is not a something new. It's something we have known all the time, and you know, people who do historical research too can find records of children having died at schools. So it's a sad thing that it is not new either.
Linda, you've written an excellent paper about the Vermilion boarding schools, and we'll get a link set up to that. So if folks want to read more about the boarding schools, they can take a look at your paper. It's available online, and we'll get a link set up for that. And thank you so very much for taking some time to talk with us this morning. And I hope that it helps a little bit to know that there are so many people that are aching and grieving and want things to be better and different.
Yes. May that soothe, you know, hearts and spirits. You know, thank you so much.
Thanks, Linda. Linda Lagarde Grover, our guest this morning on Northland Morning, 103.3 KUMD.